Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to preach a message entitled Tricked. Are you listening to me? Tricked into Hell. Tricked into Hell. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him. Now notice this next phrase, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Sometimes somebody will ask me, Brother Jerry, does anybody get saved during the tribulation period? The answer to that is absolutely. There will be people get saved during the tribulation period. Well, then that's my plan. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see what happens. And if the rapture's true, when we go into the tribulation and these things begin to happen, that's when I'll get saved. Let me say this. I don't believe that anyone who has heard and has an understanding of the gospel, I don't believe that they will be saved. Now, you may want to argue that, but let me just present this to you, thought, whether you agree with me or not. If you won't get saved now when it's easy, then I seriously doubt you'll get saved then. You know why? What we read, every single person that is saved during the tribulation period will also have to be martyred. They will, at the risk of their own life, receive Christ as their Savior. They will die a martyr's death as a result of that decision. And if you won't do it now, I'm sorry, I wouldn't bank too much on the fact that you'd have enough character to do it then. Now, verse 5, and the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out, notice this, here it is again, to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil, here it is again, a third time. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Three times in this chapter, Satan is identified as the one who is the deceiver, the one who is sent to deceive the nations. We have learned about him. Now the rest of the chapter is going to talk about those who were deceived by him. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Tricked into hell. Tricked into hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd please help me as I preach this message. I have no doubt that the devil's not happy about being exposed this morning. I have no doubt that he will, probably several times in some unusual way, try to disrupt the service. He does not want people to hear this message. He does not want them to consider and contemplate the end of the story as we find it in this chapter. So I would pray, Lord, that you build a hedge of protection around this preacher and around this place. Lord, I would ask that you'd speak to the hearts of those that are here, and help it to be said that no one that was here this morning was tricked into hell. I pray, Lord, that the light would come on. Lord, the light of the glorious gospel, and that if there's anyone here without Christ, that they'd be saved. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Shortly after I was saved, within a few years, I was introduced to a series of tracts. You have to understand, this time I would have been about 7 or 8 years old. Most gospel tracts held no appeal to me at that age. They were just too many words and too small of words, and I wouldn't take the time to read them. But I was introduced to a group or series of tracts called Chick Tracts. Some of you have seen them. You're familiar with them. You may have your own opinion about them. I would not certainly recommend all of them, but I was, as a child, drawn to them simply because they were produced in cartoon story fashion, and it was something that I could read, be interested in, and see the pictures. To this day, I prefer books with lots of pictures and very few words, you know. And so, amen. Thank you. I've got an amen section right up here. And so I was drawn to these tracts. This is Your Life. Have you ever read that tract? One of the tracts that I was introduced to that kind of was given with this Is Your Life was a tract called Somebody Goofed. Anybody ever read Somebody Goofed? All right, I'm not by myself here. All right. In this tract, there's a young man that is walking down the street, and there is a preacher out on the street, and he's witnessing and passing out tracts and giving the gospel. This young man begins to listen to the man give the gospel out, but there is an older man that is with him, and soon he begins to interrupt, and he begins to try to interfere with this young man receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this tract, this man actually ends up roughing up this preacher and actually physically assaulting him, dragging this young man away, putting him in the car and saying to him, you know what, that's a bunch of baloney, that's a bunch of nonsense, that's a bunch of scare tactics, that guy's a nutcase, you don't listen to people like that. Well, as they were going down the road away from this encounter, there was a train coming along a train track, and this man that was driving decided he was going to try to beat the train, did not beat it, and the train collides with the car, and the next page as you turn it over, these two men are now in hell. And this young man looks around at hell. This is the very place that preacher was trying to warn him about. And he points a finger of accusation, and he begins to berate this older man who told him that this was not true, that told him that this was not going to happen, that these were fairy tales, and that this man was out of his mind. And yet everything the preacher had warned him about had ended up coming to pass. It was 100% true. And the young man finally in frustration pointed at the older man and said, "You goofed! You goofed!" And then this is where the story may get a little weird, but the older man began to take his hands and put it on his head, and he began to adjust, and he took off what was a mask. He took off his human face, and underneath that human face is Satan himself. And he looks at that young man and said, "Yes, somebody goofed, but it wasn't me. It was you." Now, let me just say this. I don't know about all of that, and I seriously doubt that Satan can disguise himself as a human being. I do think that Satan uses human beings, but I do not think Satan disguises himself as a human being. But let me just say this. That is, as far as this thought, this matter of Satan being a deceiver, Satan trying to trick people into not believing and listening to the gospel, that part of the track is 100% accurate, dead on. Dead on! Now, there's some things in introduction I want to tell you about the devil, about Satan. I want you young people to listen carefully. It's well established in the Bible that Satan is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. We read in Revelations chapter 20, as we read through this chapter, three different times he is identified as the one that deceives the nations. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, we read these words, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now let's get a good, solid, accurate definition. What does it mean to deceive? Well, if you go to Webster's Dictionary, the word deceive means to, listen to this, to make someone believe what is not true, to fool, to trick, or mislead. And the honest truth is, the devil wants to trick you into hell. He wants to trick you into hell. Number one, Satan is a deceiver. Number two, you say, well, preacher, how does he deceive? He deceives by telling you lies. Satan is a deceiver, but Satan is a liar. He's a liar. When Christ spoke of Satan, he spoke these words. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus Christ establishes for us this principle, this precept. You can count on it. The devil's a liar. You say, how do I know when the devil's lying? Whenever his lips are moving, he's telling you a lie. And he comes alongside people and he likes to spin lies. He likes to tell them that what is going to happen is not going to happen. What is true is false, and what is false is true. And he deceives by telling people lies. Now let me just say this. Number one, Satan is a deceiver. Number two, Satan is a liar. And I hate to say number three, but it's true. Satan is very successful at both. He's very successful at both. Matthew 7 verse 13 says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The honest truth is, based on what Jesus told us in Matthew 7, there's more people that are being deceived than are being saved. There's more people that believe a lie than will believe the truth. And so Satan is very successful at both lying and deceiving the vast multitude of people on this earth. Revelation chapter 20, we read about the great white throne. But if you remember in the verses before that, it says that when those that Satan deceives gathers in the battle of Armageddon, it says to gather them together in battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Listen, Satan is good at what he does. You know what's so awesome about that picture right there? Are you listening to me? This was after Jesus Christ's millennial reign. This is after mankind has watched Christ reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Devil is loose for a little time, and he still is able to deceive men as the sands of the sea. He's very successful at what he does. Now listen to me very carefully. You say, preacher, how can somebody be tricked into hell? Well, I believe this. I believe that one of the greatest accomplishments of Satan is to allow people, or to convince people, to deceive people, to lie to people about the fact that they are not lost. Let me give you this thought. No one has ever gotten saved until he or she became convinced that they were hopelessly lost. I want to say that again. No one has ever gotten saved until he or she became convinced that they were hopelessly lost. Now, the devil knows that. So what he wants to do, and what he's so good at, is never allowing somebody to come to the realization that they are lost. He'll try to deceive them into the fact that they're okay. He'll lie to them and tell them anything in the world to try to keep them from getting to the point where they understand that they are lost. Me and my dad was out doing door-to-door in our church visitation yesterday, and we went to a house, and it's amazing the situations you find out there. It's amazing people that are listening, living in open sin. It's amazing people that have a little dab of religion or a little dab of this, and we went to several houses. We asked folks, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? And I walked away in frustration at one house. I said, Dad, I guess everybody's saved. But they're not. They're not. They don't listen to your question. I think the whole time that you're asking the question, Satan's whispering some lie into their ear that they've bought at some point in their life. And you know, it's almost made them witness proof. I'm fine. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, sit there with a can of beer and a cigarette. And, oh, yes. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Living in adultery. Oh, yeah. I'm fine. Nothing. Oh, yeah. I'm saved. Yep. Saved. Amen. Wait a minute. What is going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. Satan the deceiver, Satan the liar, has spent all of human history convincing men and women and teenagers and children that they are all right when they are not all right. He tells them that they're safe when they're in eternal danger. He tells them that they are heaven bound when in truth they are, with every second that passes, closer to hell. He tells them that they are good when in truth they're sinners. tells them not to worry, not to think about it, when in truth they should be terrified that their next breath could be their last. Satan tells you you can always get saved later, when in truth, if you do not know that Jesus is your personal Savior, I'm telling you right now, you should not wait for the conclusion of this message. I'd bust out of that pew. I'd get up here right now, and I'd get somebody to take the Bible and show me how I can be saved. I wouldn't risk the fact that I might not die or the rapture might not happen by the end of this message. I mean that, by the way. If you're not saved, you ought to come right now. It's not going to bother anybody in here. It's not going to bother this preacher a bit. We'll get somebody to take the Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. When you get done, I'll preach a while longer, and maybe somebody else will come. Amen. How does Satan convince preachers so many that they're okay, when in truth they're on their way to hell? How can he convince so many to stay on the broad path when they need to get on the narrow? Let me give you some thoughts this morning. I want to have you double check some things. And by the way, for those of us that are saved, maybe this will help us a bit in dealing with people. Satan deceives them. Number one, Satan deceives them into trusting in their religion. Satan deceives them into trusting in their religion. Now, I want to make a statement. I want to be very emphatic about this. Religion has sent more people to hell than all the taverns, all the houses of ill repute, all the back alley bars and temples of temptation. Man's religion, false religion, is sending people to hell by the boatload. Say, preacher, what is religion? Religion, by definition, is an adopted system of beliefs. False religion, then, by definition, is an adopted system of beliefs that are false. Right. Are you listening? They offer hope, but it's a false hope. They may soothe the conscience, but they do not save the soul. They may be sincerely believed, but that sincerity is placed in a lie of the devil wrapped in formalism and catechism. Why can't you get some people lost if they can be saved? Because they're clinging on to their religion. Well, you don't understand, preacher. I believe in God. Well, I believe in God. Well, my Bible says the devil believes in God and trembles in fear. The very fact that you have a head belief in God is not salvation. You and the devil have something in common. You both believe that there's a God, but that isn't salvation. Preacher, I was sprinkled as a baby. Well, you know what? Then that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you got a shower. That's all right. But you know what? That doesn't save somebody. That's not salvation. I was baptized. That's not salvation. But I'm a member of fill in the blank church. Well, that's not salvation. I knock on the door and I ask somebody, are you 100% sure that if you died right now you go to heaven? And their answer is not a yes or no, but two words. I'm Catholic. Well, congratulations. Are you a saved Catholic or a lost Catholic? Have you been born again? Well, I'm Catholic. Well, that's like me saying I'm Baptist. I know Baptists that are saved and Baptists that are lost. Sorry, that doesn't count. You don't just join a church and guess what? You got your ticket punched to heaven. That's not the way it goes. I don't care which church it is. You see, preacher, but I pray. I read my Bible. Okay, and you know what? Every statement I've made so far begins with I. I put a dollar in the offering plate every now. All right, okay. But you know what? Jesus looked at a religious man in John chapter 3 and said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm fearful in my heart. I don't know how to bust through it. My dad was talking to me about it. And he said, you know what? I'm not sure that we can beat this religion thing unless there is an unusual awakening of the Holy Ghost in their life, because some people early on just tie in to some religious lies that they were taught as a young person, and they hang on to those lies until those lies drag them straight to hell. Now listen to me, folks. My Bible says this: religion has never saved anyone. Jesus Christ is the Savior. I'm all for religion, the right kind of religion, after you get saved. But religion without salvation is damnation. Religion without salvation is damnation. You see, and I think about, oh my goodness sakes, the hundreds of thousands and millions of people that this week in some way will be very active and very sincere in participating in some type of religious activity. Muslims that will bow down on their faces and yet they're on their way to hell. Jehovah Witnesses that will spend 40, 50 hours this week knocking on doors and yet they're on their way to hell. Mormons that'll get their backpacks and their bicycles, and but they're going to ride that bike right into hell. They're going to ride it right into hell. Sincere Catholic people that have a piece of bread put on their tongue and drink a little juice and are told that that becomes the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and they're trusting and taking communion to get them to heaven, and they're on their way to hell. You listen, you see, Brother Jerry, do you think that you're the only one right? I think the Bible's the only thing that's right. You bring the Bible and show me on any of the things that I've listed. Any of the things. You show me in the Bible. Well, I was sprinkled as a baby. Please bring the Bible and show me anywhere the Bible teaches that being sprinkled as a baby is what saves you. What we have is we have religion that's come up with its own set of traditions of men, own set of lies. They're outside of the Word of God, and you know what? They're not based on the Bible. Listen, you better make sure that you have the salvation that's spoken of in the Bible. So be very careful, because Satan deceives them into trusting in their religion. Number two, I've watched Satan deceive so many. I believe Satan deceives also, he uses this lie, Satan deceives them into trusting in their own righteousness. Now this isn't too hard to pull on men. You know why? Because we, when it comes to our pride, we are wicked in that regard. Satan appeals to the pride of mankind. He whispers in your ear, "Who does that preacher think he is? I'm not that bad of a person. I try to help my neighbor. I'm a good citizen. I pay my taxes. I give something to charity now. Who does he think he is telling me I'm on my way to hell?" We go door to door and you can see it on their faces. "Who do you think you are asking me if I know for sure I'm going to heaven? Who do you think you are?" Satan says, "Get mad." Satan says, "Walk out." Satan says, "Don't let anybody tell you you're not good enough to go to heaven." My friend, listen. The truth is, there has never been a man or a woman born who is good enough to go to heaven. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." How about 1 John 1:8? "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." You know what? If we're willing to believe that lie, God in heaven says it's not even the devil deceiving you. It's your own self deceiving yourself. How about Romans 10 verse 1? "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they," listen to this, "for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God." I'm talking about community leaders. Are you listening to me? This is going to be on the radio next week. Maybe they're waking up about now. Maybe they'll turn the radio on. I'm talking about community leaders. I'm talking about people that found and head up charities and organizations and do all of these nice things. And they want to pat themselves on the back. And they want to talk about what a good person. And let's give this award to this man. And let's give this award, you know, a mutual admiration society. Everybody's throwing their arms out of socket, patting each other on the back. And telling each other, wait a minute. Hey, you know what? None of that is going to save your soul. You know, oh, good for you. You're a nice sinner. Good for you. Good for you doing a few nice things. Are you getting this? Man, I'm telling you what, folks, listen to me. The devil's lying to people. And I hurt for them. Because in a lot of ways, in the eyes of this world, they do have good thoughts, good intentions. They're trying. But the honest truth is, they've swallowed a lie. You know how many people... I said this at the funeral the other day, and I want to say it again, and I'm going to say it often. There's way too many people that have been convinced that a person is born, and when they are born on their way to heaven, and unless they really mess up and do something bad, that's where they'll end up. You'd be surprised how many people honestly believe that. But that's not true. You cannot hold that belief up to the Word of God and have it stand the test of the Bible. We are not born righteous. We are born unrighteous. We are not born sanctified. We're born sinners. We're not born on our way to heaven. We're born on our way to hell. And unless you do something to change that, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, turn from your sin, repent of your sins, turn to a Savior who has paid the full price of salvation, you know what? You're going to continue on. And listen, you can do all the things that you want to. You can do all the good that you think you want to do. But I'm telling you, it's not going to make it up. Jesus, God was even so plain in the Scripture to say this about our righteousness. He said, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You take the best of the best of the best of the righteousness of men, and you put it alongside the righteousness of God, and you know what? It's like comparing filthy rags to pure white robes. I'm telling you, folks, our righteousness, even the best in our best day and our best effort, is still so tainted and soiled with sin that it could not even be recognized in heaven as true righteousness. How about Titus chapter 3, verse number 3? For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, deserving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about, folks, bless their hearts, I hope you're listening, and I don't know if anybody's here is lost or not. I'm hoping if somebody's listening to the radio, please listen to me. Please listen to what I'm going to say. There are so many people walking around this community, and the honest truth is the reason you've never gotten saved is you know what? God can't get you lost. The devil so deceived you that you think you're such a good person that you can get to heaven without Jesus Christ. You cannot. You cannot. And it's not a matter of you doing 50% of it and Jesus doing 50% of it. Well, I'm halfway good enough. All I need is Jesus just put the whipped cream on top. No, no, no. Jesus has to do all of it or He won't do any of it. Works and grace do not mix. They're like water and oil. You cannot mix them. You either come to the point where you say, I am hopelessly lost. My righteousness means absolutely nothing. It can do nothing to get me to heaven. My very righteousness condemns me as a sinner. And I need a Savior. I need someone that'll pay for all of my sins. And you trust in Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. And then you know what? You can go on to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say what you will, preacher, but I'm not that bad of a person. There's a whole lot of people worse than I am, and I'm good enough to get to heaven without trusting Jesus. You, sir, you, ma'am, are deceived. You're believing a lie. Let me give you the third thought. Satan deceives them into trusting their religion. Satan deceives them into trusting in their own righteousness. And I believe number three, Satan deceives them into trusting in their own immortality. Their own immortality. Every lost man, if you finally do get them lost, seem to always intend to one day be saved. But they believe this lie. And this is the only lie the devil needs. All he's got to do is keep you believing this. You can always do it tomorrow. You can always do it next week. You can always do it later. And yet James, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives this counsel. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. The honest truth is we don't know what'll be on tomorrow. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. You know why? Satan will always tell you, you can do it next week. Well, I'm young, preacher. I'm young, and the honest truth is I'm probably not saved. But you know what? I want to do some things, and if I get saved, I know I'd have to change my life. And I just, wait a minute. You may not have a life to change. You may not have a tomorrow. You know, when you're young teenagers, you're young. You know what? You almost, if you're not careful, even Christian young people, you better be careful about that. You get this idea of you become convinced of your own immortality. I mean, you're young and you're strong, and boy, I'm going to tell you what, you can leap tall buildings with a single bound. You can outrun racing locomotives. You know, all of the. Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you what you're going to find out. Old man time catches up with everybody. Sooner or later, you know what? You're going to see a diminishing. And the honest truth is, folks, listen to me. I'm just being honest. Christians, if I'm being honest, let the people know. But the honest truth is, you can pick up the old bits on almost any day. If you check them for a week's time, you're going to find some teenager, you're going to find some 20-something listed in there. Nobody knows if they've got tomorrow. If God's speaking to your heart, you ought to listen. My wife and some of the ladies, two of the other ladies, went out visiting yesterday, and they went to a house, and there was an elderly lady. I'm not going to tell her how old because I'll get in trouble with some of you, but she was an elderly lady. And here she is. I mean, who knows how long? Here she is, weak and feeble. And here she is. The deterioration of the body has already set in. And she cripples over to the door, and she answers my wife's witness with, "Yes, I know that I need to receive Jesus Christ, and I know that I've never done that, but I'm just not ready today." Have you ever experienced that? I don't know if there's anything in the world more disheartening than that. Here is somebody whom the devil has got to believe has convinced to believe a lie for now 70 years that maybe next week, maybe next year, but not today. Not today. Let me give you a good report, though. A few houses after that, Sister Penny, I think it was Heather that was with her. Cheryl, they were taking times rotating. Cheryl stayed out in the car. The other two went in. And there was a 93-year-old man over here on 246. And they knocked on the door and were invited in, and they took the Bible and was able to share the gospel with you. Now watch this. When he came to the realization of the truths of the scriptures, he looked up at Sister Penny and he said, Why not? Let's just do this right now. Right now. You know what? That was a 93-year-old man that said, "Devil, get behind me. I've listened to your lies long enough. I have an opportunity to be saved. And you know what? I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm going to take it while it's right here in front of me." 93-year-old man. Well, you don't hear about that very often. Received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I was thrilled to hear that. Satan's a liar, though. He's a deceiver. I'm not to trust in my religion. I'm not to trust in my own righteousness. I'm not to trust in my own immorality. Preacher, is that what you're saying? That's what I'm saying. Then what am I to trust in? You're to trust in the truth. The truth. The devil deceives with a lie. Christ delivers with the truth. Let me just read some scriptures to you. John 14:1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith in him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith in him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The devil tell you the lie. Jesus tell you the truth. He says, "You know what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." How about Mark chapter 1? Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." You know what? You have to repent from your unbelief and instead choose to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to believe the gospel. What is the gospel, preacher? 1 Corinthians 15:1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washes it white as snow. See, that is the gospel. We're sinners. We're hopeless. We're lost. Something had to be done, but we couldn't do it. Jesus Christ came down from heaven and said, I'll save mankind, I'll redeem mankind, lived a perfect life, born in a manger as a little baby, grew up, lived a perfect life. When he died, he wasn't paying for any of his sins because he had no sins. He died as the Son of God, and all of the iniquity, all of the sins, all of the transgressions of all mankind was heaped on the Savior, and he paid for every one of them. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him, you can be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, folks, don't you get tricked into hell. Don't you get tricked into hell. Satan will come along and say, you know what, trust in your religion. You say, no, I need to trust in Christ. Trust in your own righteousness. No, I need to trust in his righteousness. Trust in your immortality. And you know what? The honest truth is, we are mortal men, and our days are numbered. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Tricked into hell by the boatload. They're being tricked into hell. Will it be said in hell? Will it be said of you that somebody goofed? Will that be said of you in hell? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christ is here, salvation's free. Anybody in the world that's not saved, anybody here that's not saved, if you'll simply come, put your faith and trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can be saved today. Don't listen to that deceiver. Don't listen to that liar. You don't want to be part of this group that are as the sands of the sea, standing before the great white throne judgment, screaming out, it's not fair. It's not fair. I was tricked. It's not fair. I was tricked. You don't want to spend eternity in the bottomless pit, listening to the cackling laughter and the mockery that Satan will throw in your face for eternity. Got you, I got you, I got you. You don't want to spend an eternity in that situation. Jesus offers you salvation today. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven. Preacher, I don't have that peace in my heart. I don't know that for sure. And by the way, I've been praying for some of you. I know some of you are struggling. I've even had some of you in here right now. You've raised your hands during invitations, but you've not come forward. I'm praying for you. Listen, buddy, I'm praying for you. I love you. But this isn't something you ought to put off. Preacher, I'm scared. You're going to be scared in hell. This is nothing. You're amongst friends here. This is a good place to get saved. You need to get this taken care of. You need to get it taken care of. Don't take a chance on this. Don't be tricked into hell. What are you looking back on? What are you putting your trust in? Some religious thing that you did? Or are you putting your faith in Jesus Christ? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But let me say this. This is important. And I'm praying for you. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me. I don't know. I don't have any peace about it. I'm fearful of what would happen. You don't have to leave here like that. We have men up here that we'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved, preacher, but God's speaking to my heart. Let me say it again. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but God's speaking to my heart. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me, preacher. Would you lift your hand? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that? Anybody at all? I'm not sure, preacher. Please pray for me. Anybody at all? Folks, listen to me. I know it's discouraging. I know it's hard as a Christian. But the only way that they will ever be delivered from the lie is to hear the truth. Because you know what? The Word of God and the truth of God's Word is more powerful than any lie that the devil can tell them. Well, preacher, I don't know what to say to them. Tell them the truth. I'm not sure what to answer them. Tell them the truth. Because the truth is powerful. Jesus said that the truth will set them free. Listen, we have to be busy giving the gospel of Jesus Christ out. We've looked a little bit at hell. We've looked a little bit at the deceiver. Preacher, God's used this message to burden my heart. There's somebody that I love, somebody that I'm concerned about that's unsaved. And the honest truth is they've bought into a lie. They've bought into a lie, and I don't know what to do about it. Only Christ can deliver them from that lie. Preacher, please pray with me because there's somebody I'm very, very concerned about. Would you raise your hand? There's somebody I'm very concerned about, and they've believed a lie. I want to pray for them right now. Heavenly Father, you've seen these hands and you know the hearts. Lord, I don't know the names, but you certainly know the names and the situations. And God, we would pray that the light of the glorious gospel would break through the darkness. We would pray, God, that the scales would fall from their eyes, that they would be no more blinded by the lies of Satan. Lord, that the truth would set them free. I would pray, Lord, for power and boldness and courage for everyone that lifted their hands so that they would be willing to speak boldly and courageously the truth of the glorious gospel and keep speaking it and keep speaking it and keep speaking it until the light comes on. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our invitation time. I didn't see anyone's hand, Lord, as far as someone saying that they're not sure that they're saved, but there may be someone that I missed, or there may be someone who just didn't raise their hand, but the honest truth is they need to be saved. Continue to work in their hearts. Bring them forward. Help them not to leave this place lost. We pray these things in Jesus' name.